prospectus, giving information in advance, calculated to arouse interest and gain support. Years ago, I came up with this phrase for what's called the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a holy word. It comes from the Greek. The Greek word is biblios. It means books. But what is it? It is God giving information in advance, calculated. That's something very intricate. You know, I never got to calculus in my mathematics study, but I understand it is an intricate piece of math, and not everybody has it. Now, we're not talking about mathematics here. We're talking about God's prospectus. We're talking about God giving information in advance, calculated to arouse interest. And gain support or trust. God is looking for one thing from His children, from His chosen, those He chose out from among those He did not choose, and He did it for Himself in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. We're teaching through the book of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, to the church per se, to the whole church. That word meaning in its etymology, the people who belong to the Lord. I'm so fed up with 2,000 years of men corrupting the plan, the prospectus of God. We are only in the second chapter of Ephesians. But if God has given you ears to hear, you're hearing some things, whether you spent your whole life in church or not, that you may have read, but to so many, have never aroused interest. Oh, yeah. I've read through the Bible in 72, 82, and 92. Yeah, but what did you learn? The reason that this ministry is called the God School is we are making every attempt to show off God, our Father. We're not looking to create little drones through creeds of denominations, through catechisms, through ordinances or ceremonies. We're here to show off what God is doing, in fact, has done, and is doing, and will do, whether it is visible to the eye, for the Christian is most definitely, according to the words of Paul, one who walks not by sight, but by faith. And that, in God's word, as Paul puts it here in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, the good speaking God, not to be trembled at, not to be feared, but to be revered, to be respected. And to his children, to his chosen, to his church, God has good things to say that are designed to arouse interest and to win support. Now, Paul uses the word mystery in this Ephesian letter at least five or six times. So God of whom Paul speaks in the ninth verse of the first chapter, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Where has this message gone from the church? Oh, you get saved by doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, coming down, you know, the aisle, confessing your sins, and you're saved forever. Oh, friends, God is looking for those who trust him that he might have a relationship with them while they are on earth and throughout eternity. And the foundation of that trust or that relationship is trust, or to use the New Testament word, faith. And faith is acting, grabbing hold of the promises of God because God spoke them. And when God speaks, a thing is, whether we see it or not, forever, O Lord, the scripture says in Psalm 119, thy word is settled in heaven. God's will is for those he chose out for himself before the foundation of the world, that they might spend eternity with him in Jesus Christ. This mystery that men and prophets of old sought out, Paul is revealing it here. He's uncovering it. He's now making it known where Jesus spoke in parables. Paul is speaking in prose, and he's telling us the way it is. That God, by revelation, made known unto him. Some people, time to time, ask, you know, what denomination are you? Well, if there's any denomination that I belong to, and I don't belong to any denomination, but if you want to put a label, and I don't like labels, but if you want to put a label on me, then I am a Paulinist. I follow Paul as he followed Christ. That's the introduction. Let's pick up now where we left off in the last teaching, 13th verse of the second chapter. But now, and we elaborated on that, but go back and listen if you want. But now, in Christ Jesus, Paul uses this phrase, in Christ, 40 times in the first two chapters. What does in Christ mean? It is that purpose of God, wherein he said, let us make man in our image. Christ, the perfect man. And God has placed those he chose in Christ. And now God doesn't see this sinner, this wicked, this cracked pot for who he is, and I'm talking about myself, or I'm talking about you, but he puts on, if you were to use a simple analogy, he puts on the glasses of eternity, and he sees us who are trusting, who are grabbing hold of his promises. He sees us as Christ because he placed us in Christ. And when you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and you get in Christ by faith. This is the mystery. Not by works, not by your own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God. Are we found in Christ because God purposed it before the foundations of the world? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the life of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one, that is, Gentile and Jew, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was that middle wall? You know, they were those who God appointed to be the oracles of his word, who somehow attempted to perform the law, those who had not that revelation of God, that picture of God's righteousness, that is, perfect performance of the law, none of whom ever lived up to it. For he is our peace, who has made both those who had the law and those who didn't have the law, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What was that enmity? The law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain, that is, of two, one new man, so making peace. This word peace. Eirene is the Greek word, and it simply means set together again. We are set together again in Jesus Christ. One new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Or better translation, slain the enemy. Enmity in himself. That he might reconcile both unto God. The word is apokatalexi. Apokatalexi. What does it mean? Translated, reconcile. It means to change from one state to another. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Your state might have been afar off, but God is preaching reconciliation, to change from that position of afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, that is, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, unto our Father. Now, therefore, Christ having reconciled us. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, with those others who are committed to God and of the household of God. Are you hearing this? If you are, a response. A response is I want to use the word required. A response should come. This mystery which God has kept hid throughout the ages, Paul is now bringing to light. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That is the one connecting all the parts. You know, there really is only one chief cornerstone, and that would be on the top of a pyramid, which connects all the sides. And that great pyramid in Egypt, that one that cannot be reproduced, even with all the modern technology that's available today, it cannot be reproduced. It was. Without a chief cornerstone, because it was built by men, and they made some mistakes. And the chief cornerstone wouldn't fit. But Christ has now come, and he is the chief cornerstone of this building that Paul says, in whom all the building fitly framed together. And groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in Jesus. It says, and groweth. Folks, I couldn't speak like this when I first began. When God, in his grace, began to cause me to come into his word, come into this prospectus, it's growing. It's, thank God, it's growing every day. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. No chapter and verse in the original. Paul has just poured out what he learned from Jesus Christ as he spent 3.5 years in the beginning of his ministry from Jesus Christ himself. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he," that is Jesus, "made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words." He explained the mystery from that ninth verse. Actually, begin in the first verse of the first chapter, telling you it in the ninth that it was a mystery. He says, "How that by revelation Jesus made known unto him the mystery, as he wrote in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Folks, this mystery is something that no longer becomes a mystery as it is revealed unto God's children, unto God's chosen, unto God's church. And where have these words been taught? Not in most so-called churches, not in most denominations, but we, not that I'm anything, as Paul said, by his grace to me. This mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God, in this good news, in this gospel, in this God spiel, promised to those trusting him, he would put his Spirit in him, but we have that limitation where Paul says the earnest of the Spirit, part payment. We have that term in the real estate business. When you enter into a contract to buy a home, you put up what's called earnest money and agree to, when the full payment is made, it's going to be made in the same denomination. If we were back in the agrarian society, if we made a contract to buy sheep, we'd make it down, not to buy sheep, but to buy land with sheep. Here is some sheep, part payment. When we complete the transaction, you get the whole herd that was promised. When God, in eternity, to those he chose in Christ, he will make full his Spirit in us, but today we have the part payment, but it is sufficient. God's grace, unmerited favor, is sufficient. And we're going to continue with Paul in this revelation of the mystery of God, which was not known unto the sons of men. That's God's school for today.